Jesus said at one point, "Whoever loses his life for me will find it." As we read through the Gospels, and if you've done this, you've undoubtedly seen this, Jesus often tries to reorient the way we see life, and he tries to get his disciples to get the focus off of self and on to others. And in fact, he even equates serving others with serving him. Do you remember this passage of Scripture from Matthew 25, where Jesus says, looking toward a futuristic event, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison, and go to visit you?' And then the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers of mine, you did for me.'" When we serve others in whatever act of service that might be needed, feeding, clothing, visiting, giving drink, giving shelter, whatever it might be, it is as if we were doing that for Jesus himself. If we want to come alive spiritually, if we want to have a new lease on life, at least a new way of seeing life, then we need to put the principle that Jesus taught throughout the Gospels, and that is to serve others. Jesus also said this, "The greatest among you will be your servant." In just a few moments, we're going to recognize five men who have stepped up to the plate and said, "We want to be servants in this family." These men are Ross Molay, Brian Overby, Byron Peacher, Levi Weatherford, and Greg Workman. These five men, along with the other individuals who are already serving as deacons in our family, are to be commended for their willingness to serve this church family in this very special role in which we are asking them to serve. But these, of course, are not the only servants in this church family. Actually, every member of this family, now hear me, if you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, and you consider yourself to be a member of this church family, part of the body of Christ, then we are called to embrace the role of a servant. We don't just have 10 servants in this family. We have whatever number our membership total may be, which I don't even know what that is, but it would be safe to say we have several hundred servants of Jesus Christ in this family. Not just 10, but at least a couple of hundred or more. I love this verse, which speaks to all of us, found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Where Peter wrote this, "Each of you, each of you, should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. God has gifted each one of us. Some of us may have more than one gift, but all of us have been gifted in some way, and we are to use that gift to serve others, faithfully being good stewards of God's grace to us. So, this morning, real quickly, I want us to think about what does it mean to be a servant? What is a servant? If you've got your handout with you this morning, you've got four blank spaces there, and you're going to be able to fill in those spaces if you want to do that with the four things that I'm going to talk about here real quickly. We're going to hit these at a real quick pace, so buckle up and hang on. What is a servant? A servant is, number one, someone who is unconcerned about recognition, praise, or power. A servant is someone who is unconcerned about recognition, praise, or power. Being a servant was a subject Jesus spoke about often with his disciples. Apparently, some of his disciples, along with some of their family members, seemed to think that because they were following Jesus, they were in line for some special kind of recognition or position or power. I know that because the Gospels tell us that once the mother of two of the disciples who were following Jesus came up to Jesus and said something like, "Hey, Jesus, I would like my two sons to have a special place in your kingdom when it comes in all of its glory. I would like for them to be one on your left side and one on your right side." Now, don't fault the mama. I'm not criticizing the mom. She's like any mother. She's proud of her boys. She wants her boys to be recognized. She wants her boys to have a place of prominence. But here's the thing. Jesus says, that's not the way it works in my kingdom. In fact, on another occasion, he said something like this: "You know that those who are regarded as rulers over the Gentile lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so," he says, "with you. Instead," here's how it's going to work in my kingdom. And this is one of those upside down things that Jesus does about his kingdom. He takes something that we all know about in our world and he turns it upside down. He says, this is how it is in the world, but this is how it's going to be in my kingdom. And this is one of those prime examples. He says, "Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." It's the inverted kingdom principle, right? You want to be first in my kingdom, you've got to be last. If you want to be great in my kingdom, then don't put yourself in a position to be served. Rather, put yourself in a position to serve others. Jesus flips things upside down quite frequently. And when it comes to being served versus being a servant, Jesus does that in his kingdom. It's exactly the opposite of what we might expect. Jesus didn't come seeking recognition, praise, or power. Instead, he came and embraced the role of a suffering servant. And he taught his disciples to do the same. To not be concerned about recognition, praise, or power. Such things are still important in our world today. But in the kingdom of God, we operate by a different set of principles. As servants of King Jesus, He's our King. We sang about that earlier. That's a very theologically correct song. Sometimes the songs we sing aren't really very theologically correct, but that's a spot-on song. Jesus is our King. And as our King, our desire, our concern is not to be recognized or praised by anyone other than Him. That's the praise we covet, is the praise of our King. That's the recognition we desire, is the recognition of our King. Whether the world recognizes us, whether others praise us or not, is completely irrelevant. Doesn't matter. The only voice that matters in this, the only praise that I desire, that I should desire, the only recognition that I should desire is that of my King, King Jesus. So, number one, a servant is someone who is unconcerned about worldly recognition, praise, or power. We're only interested in pleasing our King. Number two, a servant is focused on God, not on his or her limitations. Think about it. Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was mistreated. Moses stuttered. Gideon was fearful. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Naomi was a widow. Ruth was a foreigner. Peter was impulsive. Martha worried. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular and hated by many people. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. And Timothy, bless his heart, was timid. All of that's biblically accurate. That's quite a lot of misfits when you put them all together. But God used each one of those individuals and countless others just like them in order to further His plan to redeem and reconcile His creation to Himself. And here's the thing. He will use you and He will use me if we'll stop focusing on our limitations and focus on Him instead. I love this passage that Wes called our attention to last year. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. There is not a single person within the sound of my voice who has put their faith in God, who can't in some way be used by God to be a blessing to others. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what your life experiences have been. I don't care what you're presently going through. There is not a single person in the sound of my voice, young, old, or in between, male, female, or black or white, who cannot in some way be an instrument in God's hands to be a blessing to others if we're only willing to see ourselves in that light. A servant is focused on God and the power that is at work within us, not on his or her limitations. Well, but I can't do, I just can't, I've got this, I've done, just stop. Just stop. I don't care who you are. God has given you something that can be used to be a blessing to others if you will see yourself as his hands and his feet at work in your home, on this campus, in this community, in your place of work, wherever you go. A servant is someone who's focused on God and the power that is at work within them, not on his or her limitations. Number three, a servant is someone who's always looking for opportunities to serve. Three times in the last chapter of Titus, Paul urged Titus to teach the disciples he was working with to be ready to do whatever is good. In Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 1, verse 8, and verse 14, within three short paragraphs, Paul says to Titus, tell the people you're working with, tell the disciples you're working with, that they are to be ready to do whatever is good. As servants of King Jesus, who, it is said in Scripture, went around doing good, we feed, we clothe, we shelter, we visit, we teach, we give, just like our Lord, like Jesus. We are devoted to doing that which is good. Whatever God puts in front of us that is good to do, a servant is someone who is always looking for opportunities to do good, always looking to serve. See, this is something we don't take off and put on like a pair of shoes. We don't just serve here in this context, but we serve out there as well. A servant is who we are. And if that's who we are, we're always looking to serve and do that which is good no matter where we go. So if I go to work, I don't leave my servant clothes at home. I've got my servant clothes on at work too. And so if there's something there that's good that I can do that will be a blessing to someone in the name of Jesus, I do it. On campus, you're a servant. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you are his child, you are a servant of Jesus wherever you go, whoever you're interacting with. If there's something good I can do that'll bless somebody else, that'll help meet a need in their life, God has put me here to do that. A servant is someone who is always looking for an opportunity to do that which is good. This is not something we take on and take off. We leave it on all the time. It's who we are. It's who we are. It's who we're called to be. Wherever we go, whatever we do. A servant is someone looking for opportunities to serve. Real quickly, number four, a servant is willing to serve all. Jesus touched lepers. He associated with prostitutes and social outcasts, the kind of people the religious people of his day would have had nothing to do with. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. He fed Jews and Gentiles alike. He healed men and women. He welcomed children. He honored the poor. In other words, Jesus was non-discriminatory before that was a thing. Jesus taught his disciples that no one was undeserving of God's love, and that all were welcome to follow him. In a world that discriminates and labels people all the time, as servants of King Jesus, we are called to serve people regardless of whatever label they may have or whatever prejudice others may have against them. Church, this goes to the fundamental truth of who we are. We don't pick and choose who we serve. We don't pick and choose who's worthy of the love of God. All are worthy of the love of God. All are deserving of the invitation to follow Jesus. And so a servant, a serving church, and serving people are committed to serving regardless of whatever label or discriminatory idea people may have about others. We're just here to love people. We're here to serve and to be a blessing in whatever way we can. May God help each of us, not just the 10 who are going to serve as deacons over this church, but all of us, to be faithful servants of King Jesus, so that his name is honored in this community and so that it receives the praise that he alone deserves. Would you pray with me? Father, none of us really likes the idea of serving others. We'd much rather be served. But Lord, you've invited us into a kingdom where you flipped that upside down. And you've asked us to take the focus off of self and put it on others. And so, Father, we pray for your power to be at work within us to reorient, to reshape, to reframe our thinking so that we will see that we are servants and want to serve others as Jesus served others. Help us, Father, as a church to be a serving, loving church, a church that wants to bless this community, that wants to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our families, on our campus, and all throughout this community. Father, help us to do that in a way that honors you and truly blesses and helps others. To this we pray today in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.